Ele não é, né?
Page 78 in the hymn and tune book. Hymn number 509 in the BB collection. Faith is the brightest evidence of things beyond our sight. Breaks through the clouds of flesh and sense and dwells in heavenly light. It sets time past and present view, brings distant prospects home of things a thousand years ago or a thousand years to come. By faith we know the worlds were made by God's almighty word. Abram to unknown countries led, by faith obeyed the Lord. He saw a city fair and high built by the eternal hands, and faith assures us, though we die, that heavenly building stands. The next thing. Feel at ease and rejoice. rejoice. Not many times have I visited the associations, but what I have had much rejoicing. Even though at times when I would start home, perhaps I would begin to run down, or get down, or whatever you might say. But there's something that keeps you people together that I hope I know something of. I remember one time Elder Lefferts said at one of our meetings down near our home, when he began to preach or get up in the stand and start preaching, he said, "I want you to forget all about Lefferts and just listen to what I hope to be able to say." And you can take that two or three ways, perhaps two ways at least. Elder Lefferts was a very able preacher, a well speaker, and perhaps some might have felt that he thought, well, Elder Lefferts is here, now we want to hear a good sermon. But you know, I'm inclined to feel that I could fellowship Elder Lefferts in one way that he felt. And that was this, that forget all about what man is, knowing the flesh as we all do, the weakness of it, and our sinful condition as we are in nature. It would be much better if we would forget these things if possible. And I would like for you to think of that about me. Knowing you, me as you do, perhaps in my weakness, and as I stand before you, wholly depending upon God, for whatever I may say, and hoping in my heart that it will be something that you know something about, and that we're here at this time as one people in Christ Jesus. That is, we're not here for any other purpose, perhaps we hope at least, than to worship the true and the living God in spirit and in truth, that we may be drawn together and united in love and look forward to that which is comforting and helpful and is food for our souls. This word faith you will find in the scriptures as what is said to be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We think upon it as something we hope we have. On one occasion, the disciples said, "Lord, increase our faith." How often, perhaps, have we desired the same thing? Feeling that we have no faith at all. But I would like for you to stop for a few minutes at this time. Let us all try to enter into this subject as it has been left on record, we hope, for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of Scripture, might have hope. And if we have this hope, faith then is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, the things that are seen are temporal, but those things that are not seen are eternal. So then we look not upon the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Sounds foolish, doesn't it? Yes, These things are not seen with the natural eye. There is an understanding that you have that makes you see, makes you look upon them with your eyes, and makes you hear them, makes you handle them of the word of life. For as he said, life was manifested. We have seen it and shown to you that which was with the Father from before the foundation of the world. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you. So it is today, which we have seen and heard, we hope to declare unto you, and yet not with a looking upon temporal things, but that which is eternal. This subject is taken up, a good bit of it, in Paul's letter to the Hebrews. And in the 11th chapter, you will find the beginning of it. But before I start with that, I would like to refer you to two verses of the last chapter of the 12th chapter. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Now that is the ending of the 12th chapter. But you can, if you will, take this up when you have plenty of time. Enter into it as your letter from Paul, even though it is addressed here to the Hebrews. That doesn't make any difference at all. They're neither Jew nor Greek in Christ Jesus. They're all one. And therefore, this letter is yours for your learning, as I said. And as we read it, I'm going to use a little of it as my remarks, I hope, will be to show forth one thing, I hope, and that is that you do have faith. With all of our doubts and fears at this time and in this age and under the condition that you now live, which having been crucified with Christ, as Paul said, and living as you do now by the Spirit, directing your mind upon God as the great and eternal God, the God of heaven and the God of earth, let's see what this chapter begins with. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now last night I obtained a good report. I am giving it to you, a report from a dear one that could not hear what I said. How it entered into my heart, how I felt toward that dear one. And not only this one, but you all. That one thing brought me close to you all. I felt that I would have a season of rejoicing, that I had had a season of rejoicing. When I heard her say, faith, by the faith that she had or hoped to have, was she here? Not that she was able to hear the things, what was said, but the things in the past, how she was still clinging to this thing. All this word faith. These are the things that I want to present to you that you will feel the gift of God, or that you will feel what God has done for you, that God has brought you about in this manner in faith. It is said of one of the writers that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you have faith, then you have heard the word of God. For without the word of God, there is no faith. There is none that you have to be manifested. Yet, again, on the other hand, this faith was manifested in the ages past, the dispensations gone by, in which God moved these men to write the things of faith. They never entered into it, as you today have. Yet, they were figures of all to set forth the salvation of Jesus Christ in this age or this day in which faith you should worship through the righteousness which is of faith. That is, that you would not cling any longer to the righteousness which is the law, but because of faith that you had in God. Now, the first of this begins in this way. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, we gather from that that there was nothing temporal about it. The things which do not appear, the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is, the very things that you see today were made without appearing. That is, they were without, the making of them was without material. That is, God needed no material to do this thing that he did do, that he spoke the world into existence. By faith, we know the worlds were framed by the word of God. We would not take the word frame to think that he framed it up to some kind of material, because that's what the word left on record for, that it was made of things which did not appear. Made not of the things that appear. That is, these things do appear now that you see, the temporal things, the material things in which you would look at. But I'm telling you, this scripture goes deeper than what the natural mind can grasp. And really, I would think at this time, and have you to think of these worlds as a different way from what you might think of this material world. Even though it is true, and you firmly believe, that God took nothing and made this whole world. You believe that. You wouldn't doubt it. Why do you believe it? You must have some faith. No one in the world could tell you anything different. You would say whatever God said or did was possible, that there's nothing impossible with God. Why do you say so? You've felt the power of God. You've had the power of God demonstrated upon you to make you to know that there's nothing impossible with God. But these worlds, as you notice, plural, there were ages or dispensations before this dispensation in which God had control over, and the making of, the framing of, that it should work out to be in that types and figures and shadows of the world to come. Of this day in which today you are rejoicing, and which it is, as the subject was said, a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Regardless of what anyone would say, or any number of people to you, it could not shake you. You're building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You're fitly framed together unto a holy temple in God. That is, God himself has worked in you to will and to do of his good pleasure in the building of this house, to making it up to such an extent that there's no shaking. You're built first upon, as he said, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And it is true, you are built upon that which they talked about, which they prophesied for, which in those days God worked upon them to preach the truth, just as it was, as the scriptures did preach the truth in Abraham when he said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. It was the gospel preached then by the scriptures through Abraham in this manner, or by concerning Abraham, that in his seed, Christ Jesus, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So we must think of it and do think of it in that way, that we are referring to those things that could be shaken and were shaken and were ceased and did cease to be with you. And in this world today as it is, as you exist as a child of God and a people of God, as one, you might say, fitly framed together unto the holy temple of the Lord, standing firm, fixed, and settled, holding fast to that which you have received from God, stand fast in the liberty wherewith God has made you free, as you are free from everything, and regardless of what the world says, you just simply pass it on, having the knowledge, as it is, of both conditions, of what the world is, and that once you were perhaps bound in, now having been delivered from that into this world which cannot be shaken, or into this condition that stands firm and fixed as a witness to testify to the work of God from before the foundation of the world. Yes, from before the foundation of the world. And here this writer, Paul, is setting it forth. Paul was able by God, as he did, to present this as an apostle, Paul, as he was, to preach to the Gentiles, to speak unto them this very same thing that today we hope we have been listening to and still desire to listen to. It seemed as though it would get old, but I'll tell you, there's an effect that it has, as I told you in the beginning, how it did upon me, I hope, last evening, that will never cease as long as the world stands, or as long as you're in the world, or as long as anyone else is in the world, that God has witnesses to this very truth that stands out, the truth of salvation by grace through Jesus Christ our Lord, as it has come, that he should do the work of him that sent him. So the faith, the word faith, I want you to feel assured that it's yours. I know how you feel, I'm sure, in the flesh, as I often feel that I'm nothing and less than nothing, in the, that is, in the flesh, dwells in me nothing, no good at all. We can then say, or would say, and be found saying, no doubt, Lord, increase our faith. What you must have had some taste of faith. You must know what it means. You know, faith without works is dead. But this writer set forth this as he began through the first of the world, as you might term it, and showing up to Noah, in which he was by faith building an ark for the preserving of his house. By faith, it says, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So you see, this is setting forth one world in which Noah, by faith, it says, found grace in the Lord and did and carried it out, just setting forth a shadow of this very substance now in which you are worshiping in this world, which hath delivered you from underneath of all the bondage of the law and of everything that you could be charged with. That is, he himself has taken over for you, and he has made it known unto you. Not only has he done this thing, but this was ordered beforehand, that God ordered it before Jesus ever was in the picture as God in the flesh, or before you were, that it should work out just this way. Do you believe that? Of course you do. Then why do you believe it? It's because you have faith in God to know that he was equal to do the thing that he declared from before time was, that he was the beginning and the ending of it all. We cannot think upon these things as sometimes we might do. You know, It is a peculiar thing, human nature. You all know what I mean. You know, so often we are confronted with things that we are brought to face this or that, and we see within ourselves that we cannot do the things that we would. Why hypocrisy exists, we'll say. And we'll say, oh, how I hate these things. Why do you hate them? Because you know what they are. You know it's in the flesh, and you can't get clear of it. You would like to do different. You would like to get clear of these things, and you'd say, it can't be possible. I haven't the faith that I would like to have. I would like to have the faith to do this or that. I would like to have the faith to go on in a righteous way. Yes, Lord, increase our faith. But I am telling you again, when these times come and you begin to doubt and fear, just stop to think of this one thing. Is there any other way that you would desire? Is there any other truth that you'd like to enter into in this one way? You'd say no. That's why I think you're here today. You couldn't be otherwise. God had ordered it that way for you to be here for the purpose, for whatever it may be, and I hope it is for the purpose of our rejoicing together, that we may be comforted together in this truth that Paul's left on record here to the Hebrews, to show that you do have faith. These men had no faith as you have it, but what could be shaken, which those things were shaken at that time. But today you stand in a faith that cannot be shaken, a kingdom that you have received, the condition in which you're made, that nothing can shake you. As I've often said, you can take layer off of layer, just do away with the whole thing, and every time a condition has passed, you're just as strong, perhaps a little stronger. I believe sometimes you're stronger in the faith. When these things arise, these conditions that we have to contend with in nature, that we, as it says, all things work together for good to them that love God. The infirmities of the flesh is what he was referring to, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. For God maketh intercession for the saints according to his will. We find that it is nothing. We can't make intercession for it. We can't handle the condition. And when they come, the infirmities of the flesh, because we cannot pray as we would, what does it mean? It just means that you have faith to leave it in the hands of God. To say, God, as one told me at the Rock Springs meeting, your God is my God. I'll tell you, that made me feel good. I was so glad that one said that. I was glad to feel that she could fellowship me. And that's what it meant, to agree. She had agreed with the things that I had presented of this word, from this book, or the word of God, as a God, as our salvation. What do you call it? It's one complete family of God. One complete people, as witnesses, are drawn together, as the scripture says, fitly framed together unto a holy temple, the holy temple of God. So it is. I desire, as I said, to present this to you, but I'm going on a little farther, if it does not take too long, that I would hold you too long by that. I have come to the place where I said about Noah having faith, that the things that he did, showing how in the preserving of his family as he did through this faith that was manifested in him. And then we also have another, that it came to Moses, the faith that was manifested in Moses, just as Jesus Christ, you might say. You know, the faith, we're justified by faith. You know, sometimes there had been some talk about not being justified by faith, but by the blood of Christ, and so on. These things come up, you know, as in the scriptures. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a fact. These people, all the way through the worlds that were justified by faith. That is, they were justified by the work in which God worked through them, those men that did those things by faith. They did the very thing because of faith that existed in them. They couldn't do otherwise. They were directed for that. They were brought about for that purpose. Moses was brought about for that purpose. And so was Noah brought about for that purpose. To manifest the faith of God that was in them, the faith of God. And by the faith, the act in which they did, they were justified as today. That is, God did see through that and preserve his people as he has today. All of his people are justified by faith. For by faith you're justified. Yes, you have being justified by faith. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No way in the world could we ever have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ except by the faith in which it took place. That is, the faith to lay down his life. He was offered for our offenses, raised again for our justification by faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why today that you sit down in heavenly places and you worship this God, because of that very work offered for your offenses and raised again for your justification. Now, what part do you have to boast in? Nothing in the world. You'll say that glory belongs to God. God saw this back through the ages. He brought it down in a perfect work through this letter, as we have set forth. If you desire, I'm not going to undertake to read them all about these different things that took place according to faith or by faith, but you can take them up, follow them down, and when you come down to the last of this verse, the last of the 11th chapter, I mean the 12th chapter rather, that I read to you as your subject or as something to base my remarks upon. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And as we go above that, I want to take that in about that shaking, as I told you, of this kingdom that cannot be shaken. And I want to bring it down to that, first of all, before I leave it. Now then, he said, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. All of these ways were those that were made. That is, God brought it about in that way to present it as a figure or as a shadow. The law is a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of it. But they could be shaken. They were shaken. The end of it came. And when it did, then that which could not be shaken must remain and did remain and does remain and will always remain. That's this subject that we have of Jesus Christ or the kingdom of God as it stands before you as a people that are united in one thought, one mind, and one heart. Looking to that which they know just as sure. You couldn't tell them anything different. Here's another evidence that you have. Who in the world could tell you anything different from what you see in this word as you are a people worshiping as you do, as old school Baptists? I'd like to see somebody just try to tell you something different. You know how you wouldn't condemn them a bit in the world if it did happen. But you are just so firmly fixed and settled in it that it could not affect you. It would not affect you. You'd stand fast in the liberty wherewith God made you free. You couldn't be moved. You were made to that end. You're born into it, in other words. Now then, where is your faith lacking? Your faith is not lacking. You have faith. I know you can't see it as you would like. And you would like God to increase your faith. I think at the time that this was written, that it was that something was, I can't remember the scriptures, the connections with it exactly, but somewhere or another that they should forgive them so many times, I think. And seemingly the thought was that they thought, well, we can't do that. Today, as it is, you might say, for instance, could we forgive this one or that one? Well, yes, you'll forgive. That's true. But something must take place. But you know, when Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, we can't enter into these things as we would like. We feel that they do know, and then again we know they don't know. Then if you know they don't know, then what can you do? You can take it, whatever it might be, and you can accept it as it is, even though in nature I know how you feel. Why, quite often it's said, you know, if you someone smites you on one cheek, you should turn the other cheek to them. Well, that's true. You would do it in that condition. Not that somebody would come up and slap you on the face. It doesn't mean that. If it did, then you and I both, I expect, would find that we needed a lot of pain. You know that that's not what it means. But if this one comes up and tells you you're wrong, you're in the wrong way, you shouldn't worship that way. But very few of you, why in the world don't you get away from it and join and unite with those that have some understanding about what the truth is? Well, you wouldn't. You could turn the other side and let them say it again just as easy. Yes, you would. I know sometimes we do flare up, but after all, and you think of it for a few moments, you know the story. You have an unction from the Holy One, you know all things. Having known all things, then you can stand, and you do stand, with your best, your mind's word about, with the truth. You have that truth which stands firm within you. There's no shaking to it. It remains forever. It's a solid rock that you build upon. So I wanted to refer you to this particular subject, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. But as we go on a little further with these things that wherein they had faith, I would like to bring you down to the beginning of the 12th chapter. Just to point to you a few things that I hope I have seen, that I believe you understand. If we do have these things together, of what it really means to us. These men of old that had this faith, or they did these things with this faith, unless we have fellowship with them, man, we don't know anything about what faith is. But if you have fellowship with those men that did these things by faith, which you do, you have something within you. You have that which they have tasted of in that respect, that God has moved them to do that by faith. So as you stand today firm and fixed and settled in that, they are your brethren, just as the brethren today are yours, even though they had not entered into this world or to this age. And you think of them in that way. You really love their writings. You love them for the truth's sake, and you never knew them. But it's something there they have together, something that God gives through the Spirit that no other source, that you can get from any other source. And here's what I wanted to bring to this beginning of the 12th chapter. Who, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with thieves. And what shall I say more? Now he's beginning to end of these things by faith. What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, and of Jephthah, of David, also of Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in its fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You see, as I told you, they had received not the promise in which was given to Abraham in the beginning, that all nations of the earth should be blessed in his seed. And then he said, and he says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, of all these that did manifest, that faith was manifest in them, and seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience the race that is set before us. The race that is set before you, through worshiping through the faith which is of righteousness, that you have now received the promise, as it was that they did not, but you having received the promise, let us run in this manner, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. These are the things that I wanted to present before you, that as they are witnesses, that if witness this faith through which they did, a great cloud of witnesses, now we are compassed about with them, worship fellowshipping them, and as we have it within us, we hope the promise of faith, or the substance of things hoped for, that is, things that are not seen with the natural eye, but the things which are eternal, seeing them as we do, looking upon them as we do, in that condition, isn't it well that we can say, over here in the subject that we have, wherefore we receiving a kingdom, we are hoping, which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, and with reverence, and God with fear. This is the way it's done. If we have received this kingdom, you will serve God acceptably, with godly fear, with reverence and godly fear. Think upon it. Is this the way you worship this at this time? If so, you have received this kingdom. And I'll tell you, these brethren that stand before you here, it is in godly fear. They're worshiping in that manner, just as you feel to do as you listen to the same things. You realize our weakness, if I may be included with them. You understand that they can't tell you anything about the truth except God be with them. And then God is working together with you all as a great cloud of witnesses, even from the men of old down to this age, as witnesses to the one truth, the one way, the one life, wherein we hope we have salvation. And then it goes on, for our God is a consuming fire, and it is so. Now you can appreciate that verse. I know you say, what do you mean by that? Because you passed from death into life. It took the same fire to burn, to destroy all within you as it did within Peter, or any of the men of old, whoever they may be or the men of the day. For God is a consuming fire. There's nothing lacking in any of his work. Even faith that you have in God is not lacking. You have this faith. I know you have it. Yet we cry, Lord, increase our faith. If the faith was not there, if you had not the faith, you wouldn't be found following up these meetings. You wouldn't want to hear this word. You'd soon become tired of it. Or you'd say it's the same old thing right over and over again. Grace, 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 they say. You know, that's what the old Baptists have to bear sometimes. Yeah, they'll say, yes, you say grace, 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 or hope, 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 all of that. I'll tell you, the world don't know anything about the grace of God and hope. That is, you know what I mean. They did know not anything, but God makes them alive. He teaches them everything. And then you do not have to be spoken to in parables. I don't have to come here to speak to you in any other way than just the plain way, if God gives me that to speak. And if I speak that, the things that are plain, or things that are not crooked, or things that are not rough, you know, that's when it comes to make the things straight, the crooked straight, and the rough places smooth. If I were to undertake to build up something this way or that way, or ifs and ands into it, you'd soon say it's too crooked for me. It's not smooth. I want something perfect, a perfect work from before the foundation of the world, which was God's work. So he has worked in you to will and to do of his good pleasure in bringing you into this age in which you have received the kingdom that will not shake or has no shaking and cannot be shaken. And now, having received this kingdom as you have, which cannot be shaken, you will stand firm in it even to death. I believe it. Age doesn't change it a bit in the world. I believe it really draws a person nearer to that God that he has, that he found more, that he has more faith. That is, he's given, seeming to know that the stronger of his need of God. Why do you say you need God if it's not the faith you have? You have faith in God. That's why you say you need God every hour. Why, we need him every hour. Yes, we need him all the time. Well, why do you say that if it's not your faith? You must have faith in God. Yes, you have. May you continue in this faith is my prayer, and me also. I want to continue with you in this one way, and as long as I live and am given to attend such places, I hope it's my lot that to see and have a little here and a little there from the brethren, as I had last night, as I've had today, and as I have, I hope to have throughout this meeting, enough to keep me in the faith, if I haven't any. I hope it keeps me in the faith, or keep it with you. That's what I mean. That I may be with you, even in death, is my prayer. Amen.
This brings the kitchen to a close this afternoon. Wouldn't it be all right to have a separate read without this missing meeting? And we all hear it then, and then make sure there's some food and dismissed. Let's have a reading of a circular letter, and the deacons and ministers are all right around close here. Hear it.
through the revelation of thy truth in our hearts, through the implanting of brotherly love, that this meeting may be to the glory of thy grace, for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.